Hi, guys. Welcome back to Mostly Balanced with Mia and Carly.
Hi. Welcome back. How are you today? It's Marathon Sunday.
I always love this day. I actually feel like I don't usually go and watch, maybe because I've never lived like really close to the course. I watch if I know somebody who's running, but today I don't really know anybody, but I still went out and watched the elite runners and it was so fun. I love the energy there so much.
I know the marathon, watching it just makes me feel so emotional and like wish I could run a marathon. So
you could.
I don't know, but I did go and I saw my friend who was running. So that was fun.
Yeah, I love it. It was
very exciting.
I feel like it's like very inspiring. I love like watching people run it and just seeing all the different people who run it. There's so many people, tens of thousands of people every year that run it.
I feel like I always, every time it's Marathon Sunday, I wish I could run, but I just don't know if I can commit to that. But I feel like just watching it, I was getting like emotional, like teary-eyed almost.
Also, the elite runners are so fast. It's actually insane. Like I watched them and I came home and took a quick shower and then I feel like they were all done. I was like, what? Yeah.
Last year, Dan and I went out like much later. So we were in like the group of people that were probably like slower on the slower side, like finishing in like more four and a half hours ish. And today we went much earlier. So we were like obviously seeing an earlier corral in the 3.5. So it was just so different to see like the energy and like the speed differences from last year to this year of the group I was watching.
Yeah. Was it like a thinner group of like, were there like people, less people running?
No, more. I feel like it was, maybe we're in like a more congested area too, because we were like right a few blocks before like the water and Gatorade stop. So it could have just been a congested area, but it was so fun. Also really great dog watching. I was seeing lots of dogs coming out to watch the runners.
Coming out to support. I'm probably going to go back out and see probably like the later group like that you were referencing, just because it does run so close to my apartment and I think it's so fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've had a very low-key weekend. We had lunch yesterday, which was so fun.
We did. Very fun.
And it's November, which is crazy to me.
Daylight savings. We were just talking about how we've been up for what feels like an entire day, and it's only around noon.
And we have a lot of good questions to answer today. So we're going to answer two longer DMs that we got, and then we're going to answer some from our Ask Us Anything on Instagram last week. I am not sharing any new products this week, but I feel like over the next few weeks, we'll be sharing a lot to our stories just because there's so many sales already happening. Have you seen Black Friday sales already?
Not really, but I did go to Sephora today and there's a big Sephora sale going on right now. So that was exciting. I always go to Sephora and end up getting things I don't need. Like I went there specifically today to get my eyebrow pencil because I ran out and I used the Benefit eyebrow pencil.
You too.
And I was online and I always love like all those mini things that are around when you're waiting on like the very long, slow Sephora line. So I got a brow and eyelash serum by The Ordinary. So I'm going to try that.
Oh, I've never tried anything by The Ordinary.
Me neither, but I feel like I don't know much about the brand, but I feel it's very like simplistic. So I'll test it out. I have sensitive eyes, so I'm always a little weary about the eyelash serums. I actually did just have a sty, so I used to get styes like all the time. That's why I don't really like a lot of like serums or oily things to put on my lashes. But for anyone who gets a sty, I used tea bags on my eyes. That's one of natural remedies last night and the night before, and it like completely went away.
Wow. Do you usually do that?
No, I usually just do like hot compress or towel, or like even in CVS you can get, or Walgreens, like any pharmacy, you can get this little like microwavable thing that stays hot because applying heat will help. But I don't have a microwave, so that I couldn't use that. So I was using tea bags, and it honestly like such a great natural remedy that really worked.
Wow. Well, that's a good tip. Yeah, I saw that Aloe is already having their sale, or they're having like a preview Black Friday sale where everything's 80% off. And I buy most of my workout gear from there. So I was like really exerting self-control not buying it.
Yeah.
Because I think the sales always just get better. Even if they say they're having their sale, it's always like, it'll probably be 40 when it's actually Black Friday and Cyber Monday.
Probably. I need to approach Black Friday like mindfully with things of like a list of actual things I want to get.
Yeah, like gifts. I don't know what to get for Sean this year. So if you have any ideas.
I'll think about it. Buying gifts for men is hard.
Yeah, I feel like it's really hard, especially when like they don't, like I feel like I'm just constantly talking about things that I want.
Me too. They don't.
The only thing that we've been together for, which was like, was his birthday. Like, we haven't been together for Christmas before, but his birthday was in March and we had only been dating for 3 months. So it was like, not, I feel like, and we happened to be in Tulum, a trip that like I got for free. Right. So like, he got the best gift ever for his birthday because he got a free trip to Tulum. So I'm not really going to top that for Christmas, but we'll see. Okay. So let's get into the first question. I can read it. So this listener, like I said, sent us a DM. So if you have a longer question, again, you can always send us a DM to our Instagram handle, which is Mostly Balanced Podcast, or you can send us an email, which is hello@wearemostlybalanced.com. Okay. So this person reached out and they said, "Hey there, just a bit confused. Basically, I've never been with anyone. I'm 26 and I've always had the fear of being alone and have gone on a lot of dates here and there. And one of my guy friends I kind of like recently because of his personality." So she's saying she went on a date recently with a guy friend that she met and she kind of likes him because of his personality. Okay, back to the question. "I asked him out so to see how things would go. He brought me out on a fancy dinner the other day, which no guy has ever done. And he said he really likes me. But the one thing that annoys me about myself is I usually go for looks and he isn't that attractive for me personally. So I'm trying to see how it goes because dating is tough and finding decent guys is tough. But she doesn't know what to do because basically she likes this guy, his personality, but she doesn't think he's attractive," is the moral of the story here. The question is a little confusing to read. But we wanted to talk about this because we do feel like this is such a common thing. I mean, we both know from dating that it is. Of course, when you're going out with people, you're going to be thinking about like the whole package of what you think you're looking for and also like how you feel about them when you're out with them. So I've been out with people before that I'm like, "Oh, wow, this person is so attractive, but it's not a good date because I don't feel like we're clicking on like an emotional level." But then I've also had the opposite where I'm like, "This guy is so fun and cool. It might not even be on a date. It could be similar to this." Like, I've never had the feeling about a friend necessarily, I don't think, that I can remember, but maybe at work, I've thought people are like so cool and fun, but I'm like, "Oh, but I'm not attracted to them at all." Mm-hmm. So it can be really hard to think about how to weigh those two different things. And so I really feel like a lot of people will be able to relate to this question.
Yeah. And I think people are often villainized for prioritizing being attracted to somebody and somebody's looks. I feel lately, especially, there's just such a narrative around like people being shallow because they want us, they have a certain type. I feel having a type is can definitely get like a bad rap. And wanting something in regards to like physical attributes, but it's really like, it's really not. It really shouldn't be, because I think that is so much about like having chemistry and having a, just attraction in general. Of course, you could be attracted to someone's personality, but it's not a bad thing to want to be physically attracted to the person that you're going to date. So totally relate to this and totally relate to like being really attracted to someone's personality, but not really having the looks to back it up. And I think that attraction, though, can grow over time. So I would recommend this girl, if she's okay with going over the lines of friendship to dating with this person and she really likes their personality, then give it a shot. I think physical attraction could grow. It definitely has for me in the past when I met people in more of a friend or coworker situation and was attracted to personality or like clicked and there was a good energy there and we got along really well. And maybe it took a little while for the physical attraction to grow, but I think that it totally can. And I agree. It's tough out there to find a personality match and someone that you really feel comfortable with and want to go out with. So this person is her friend already. If she likes the personality, like maybe the physical attraction would grow. So give it a few dates. But this is also a friend. So be conscious that dating him might ruin your friendship.
Yeah, I have so many thoughts about this because my initial thing that I was going to say, which is what the first thing that you said too, is that attraction can grow. I definitely think that. It reminds me of conversations we've had with Jared on the podcast when we had Jared Reed on a couple of times, because I do agree with him with what he said, that that's kind of like a female mindset when you're thinking about like heterosexual relationships, that women tend to think or give the advice of, "Oh, well, like attraction can grow," and they don't view, it doesn't even necessarily, to me, it doesn't mean that they don't view it as an important thing, because I do view it as an important thing, but I also do think that it can grow. Whereas he said that men would never think that way and that men would not go out with somebody if they didn't first find them attractive. So like, I don't necessarily think that that mean? Like, I don't personally, and I'm curious what you think, but I don't interpret that to mean that men think attraction is more important than women. I just think that women are more willing to believe that attraction isn't so like cut and dry, and that somebody being physically attractive isn't necessarily like an in your face thing, or like they don't feel that women don't maybe as often have like a type that they would think like, oh, that person is attractive. That person could never be attractive to me. I feel like it's not that simple.
I agree. I think both genders or both sexes do prioritize attraction at the same degree. I don't think it means more for one than another. And I totally agree that I think women are more lenient with thinking attraction can grow. But I have a hot take here for my own opinion. I don't think if you like meet someone on the app and go out and you don't think they're physically attractive, I have a harder time believing that attraction will grow. I think if you're going on a date with someone you've never met, it's going to be more successful if you think they're attractive, physically attractive, the day you meet them. I think attraction grows more with people that you're friends with, and initially they weren't in the context to you of someone that you were going to date, like a friend, a coworker, someone you just know and never put in the box of someone I'm going to date. So you never really thought about them as attractive, like their personality.
I think that that's probably more common than like going out with somebody and being like, this guy isn't attractive, but let me see if I keep dating him if he gets more attractive. But I also do just think that attraction just ebbs and flows so much. Like if you go out with somebody, you think they're so attractive, like you're so physically attracted to them, and then you start dating them, like maybe 6 months later, there's like, you know them so well that like, you're not like, you don't see them and think like, oh my God, my boyfriend is so hot. Like kind of, you know what I mean? As much as you thought when you first like met them. Whereas maybe then one day they walk in and they're wearing like your favorite shirt and you're like, wow, he's really hot. You know what I mean? I just feel like it's like, just goes so up and down that it's hard to put so much weight on like the first few times you go out with somebody new. Think how hot you think they are or how attractive you think that they are. I think if this is somebody that you're like so turned, like that's why I think the two things are so interconnected, like emotional attraction and physical attraction. Cause if I'm like so turned off by everything someone's doing, then like, I'm never going to find them attractive, but I'm like, wow, I'm having so much fun with this person. But like, they're not like, cause she said she tends to go out with people who she thinks are like really attractive. So I think that that's her way of saying she has a type and this guy doesn't fit into what she thinks is attractive. She's not saying like, this guy is hideous. She's saying he's not the type of person she usually goes out with. So maybe like really dark hair and dark features. And this guy has like blonde hair and blue eyes. And she's like, whoa, this is like so different for me.
Right.
So that's why I think it's like something that could grow. Cause she's recognizing that he's just not her type.
Right.
So I just do think that it's the same thing as like how sex gets better with time and communication too. It's like you get more attracted to somebody as you get to know like really great qualities about them, and sex gets better as you guys learn what you both like. So I just think that it's all too intertwined to be so set on like a type. I never had. Did you ever have a type?
I was just going to ask you that. And I've been like just throughout this question thinking so much about what makes me feel attracted to someone. And I never did have a type. And I think it's because it's always been the personality that has attracted me to someone. So if I were to think about like the percentage of personality and connection versus physical attributes equal attraction to me, I think it would be a much higher percentage of personality because I have, I mean, maybe like a general type. Like, I think if you lined up everyone that I've ever dated, I'm sure you'd find similarities. And even thinking about swiping on an app, on a dating app, I wouldn't be like swiping on a certain type of person. Like, they didn't all look the same. I think it's more of just a general vibe. And I think I did. And maybe women do pay more attention to prompts and things like that or other attributes. Like, I've had heated debates with Dan actually about this whole thought process that we talked to you about, Jared, that attraction will get the guy on the first date, but the girl doesn't need attraction. And we've talked about this too, that the girl is finding attraction in other attributes, like their personality, their answers to the prompts, where they went to school, what their job is, how tall they are, what neighborhood they live in. Like, I think all of those, everything that makes up a person is equaling attraction to a girl. Whereas the guy, I agree, they probably pay much less attention to the details on a dating app than they do on like, what is this picture making me feel?
You're like, as long as they don't live in Kips Bay.
As long as they don't live in Kips Bay.
No, but I totally agree. I wish that like men would listen to like female dating podcasts and women would listen to men. Like, that's why I love listening to You Up, because they have like both the perspectives right. there, and it really has taught me a lot about, and like having guests like Jared on the podcast and Jeremy and just other like regular guys that we've had on who have talked about their opinions about dating, I think is like really, really helpful to understand that men and women who are trying to date each other are coming at it with like such different mindsets. And I've gotten that even just from talking to my boyfriend, like learning like, oh, wow, this is like how he was approaching dating when we like, it just, it's so interesting to me.
Right.
And attraction is like, I just think one of the biggest parts of it. Like it, I think that both from conversations that we've had outside of the podcast and on the podcast, I feel like you and I like both actually do weigh that like very heavily. But the fact that neither of us has a type, I think makes it clear that that it's just like has so much more to do than just looking at someone and deciding if they're attractive. Like if you lined up like a group of 20 people and then asked somebody to pick like the five that I had dated, I don't think they would be able to find like a common. Wait, I'm thinking of that game you should get today. We have to find the categories.
No. Yeah, connections.
Never be able to do that.
The New York Times connections game of dating. That yeah. would be hysterical. Like pick the four guys Carly dated, pick the four guys Mia dated. I don't think there would be a commonality. But just thinking about this, that's what makes dating on dating apps, I think, so hard. Because guys, if you're going out on a date, the guy, you know, the guy thinks you're attractive. We've talked about that. But they're approaching it very much. Do these pictures do anything for me? Am I physically attracted? And the girl is putting, I think, way more or like equal amounts to all different aspects of your dating profile. So we never talked about this on the podcast, but is it Bumble that was doing that speed dating?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that too. I think it was Bumble and they were doing like a blind speed dating where you couldn't even see the person.
Yeah, I find that a little bit interesting. And I think there are ways to make it a little better, but it's, and I didn't understand, were you texting? Was it like speed dating where you would be?
It's like speed messaging. Yeah, but like that's kind of like the first thing that you said in response to this question is that like people I feel like are made to feel like they're, what's the word I'm looking for, like they're shallow
or judgmental,
what someone looks like I don't right. I wouldn't want to do that because I wouldn't, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I could go back and forth on that.
I think it should be speed FaceTiming.
Yeah.
If that's not you opt in, you say, yes, I'm available Thursday at 7 p.m. and you get a pool. You were available for like 15 minute block and you get 30 seconds of just like speed FaceTiming.
Yeah.
And then you just click yes or no. That would be because, yes, I think attraction is important. And I don't like that Bumble and like Love is Blind mm-hmm. or giving these impressions like you really need to just get to the root of someone's personality and not see them and like the big reveal of like, what are they going to do when they see the person? I don't think it's horrible if you really connect over blind text messages and then see the picture and you say, you know what? I'm not physically attracted. I don't see this going anywhere. That would be, I feel people would think that was so mean,
yeah.
But I think that's really important. But a blind or a speed dating where you can FaceTime would be great. A dating app could facilitate because you get to see the person. You have like connection physically or chemistry and you get to ask a few questions. Maybe there's even prompts. I should build this dating app. Can you do this?
Yeah, we should just build this dating app because there needs to be something that's like an in-between of like, there's not so much weight on the picture and what they look like. And you do actually get to know the person a little bit more, but it's also not like a blind situation where you can't even see them. Because Sean basically has said that like when he would be on dating apps, he would just be looking at the picture, swipe, yes, no, picture, right. swipe, yes, no, wouldn't even stop to scroll through the profile unless he was like, wow, I really find that person attractive. Whereas to me, I'd be like, unless I was like, saw them and I'm like, absolutely not. Like they had like, I don't want to like make anybody feel bad about their appearance, but like, I probably wouldn't be attracted to a guy who was like, had hair like down to his shoulders and was like covered in tattoos. Like, that's just not, I feel like I couldn't picture right. that. So like, if it was like something like that, then I would probably just like say no. Whereas somebody else might be like, I have friends who would be like, oh my God, that guy's so hot. And she would say yes. But if it was just a guy that like looked like a normal guy, then I would, even if I didn't find them like super attractive, I would still want to see parts of their profile because I would like to take in the full picture, like you said, like where they went to school and where they live and where they're from and how they answer the prompts and how tall they are and just like different things like that.
Right.
Whereas like, I think a lot of men are not doing that. You got to find an in-between. It's really tough.
People can just be so judgmental about what other people value in how they view apps or when they meet people. Like someone might hear us saying like, look at the school, like why? Because you need to know they went to like,
right.
And no, I think so much about where a person grew up, where they went to school, it just gives you a much better idea of what commonality you will have with this person. Mm-hmm. Like Dan and I both went to the same college. We did not know each other in college, but the fact that we went to the same college, a very significant 4 years of our lives, we shared like the same bars, the same like weekends, the same like college experience, I think is meaningful in our relationship because we understand and can relate. Mm-hmm. We can go back and visit the school we went to. We never spoke to each other on the campus in the 4 years we were there, but we could still like go back and it's a shared experience. And we grew up in different states, but in very similar neighborhoods. We had very similar upbringings where we each went to like Catholic elementary and high school, and just those types of things. Any way you can like find that commonality on a dating app of where they grew up and where they went to school, et cetera, I think is so important because you'll know you can kind of relate. And that's important to me because I think finding a partner that was very similar to my background was important to me because it was felt comfortable, felt like home, like all of these things that I value in a relationship. Maybe it's not important for other people, but I think all of the things you're looking at on a dating app or the types of questions you're asking someone on a first date or just research and getting some data on the whole picture of this person to see if you'll be compatible based on what you value.
Yeah. Whereas like their picture isn't going to tell you any of those things.
Right.
You're not going to know if you are going to have fun with somebody just by looking at their picture or like if you're going to have a lot in common. And a lot of times people, I feel like guys especially, like look better in real life than they do in their pictures because they don't have any good pictures of themselves. So it's just hard.
Right.
There also are like, I was only using Hinge. I think I was on Bumble maybe like a couple times for like the course of a week at a time. Like I don't even think I ever went on a date from Bumble. But there are dating apps like OkCupid or The League or like Match.com or eHarmony. Like those do, I think, just do a lot more in the way of like personality tests and showing you compatibility scores. And that's why I think that if I were dating right now, I would probably, and I knew I wanted to like find somebody to like really be in a relationship with, I would probably be on one of those because I'm curious how many people listening are using right. those apps that like actually are feeding you compatible matches versus just like a mass of people that you have to weed through. But yeah, this topic is definitely, I feel like, so you can go down so many rabbit holes. The only other thing I wanted to note about her question before we go to the next one is that she's 26 and she's saying she always had the fear of being alone. And so she's like resorting to just asking out one of her friends who she thinks is
right.
cool. And I just think that that's like the crux of the issue here. And I think that if I'm thinking of this listener correctly, I think we answered this over DM and then she like eventually said she decided she wanted to like do some work on herself and figure out like the type of person she wants to date. And so she's like taking a break from the dating apps. And so it seems like she's like taking some of that pressure off of herself, which I think is like really good and a really healthy thing to do, because I just think that anyone listening or reading this question or like feeling a similar way, it doesn't matter if you're 26, 36, 46, like however old you are, you shouldn't be dating with like that scarcity mindset of like you're always going to be alone or like that's the worst thing in the world. I feel like you have to first like get comfortable with your own life. And then you'll meet somebody. You don't have to like date your friend who you don't even think is attractive.
Yeah. The answer isn't asking out your ugly friend. But I agree. I kind of glossed over the fact that she's 26 and has the fear of being alone. So
yeah. And she explained
I'm
end,
happy with
too.
That advice.
She was like, dating is tough and finding decent guys is tough. Like, I just think that like, that's not that I get it. Like I've been in a bad mindset, a negative mindset about dating, but that's just not the mindset you should go into. Anytime you open the app to swipe or anytime you go out on a first date or anytime you're like doing something that involves meeting people, you shouldn't have the mindset that dating's tough and that you're going to be alone forever. Like it sounds like a woo-woo stupid thing, but like go into it with like a mindset of there are so many people out there and that like, why am I going to try to force myself to be attracted to this person or to find this person interesting if there are probably like 100 other people behind them waiting for me to see their profile who might be more compatible with me. So just like a little last advice to be a little bit more positive when you're approaching dating.
I agree. But on the flip side, we've talked about like swiping so much and like not wanting to pursue one person for too long because you just know there's 100 more people on a dating app waiting to meet you. So I think it's just being mindful about it. So I really liked what you said about this girl took a break from dating, is probably thinking about what she wants in a relationship. Yes, sounds like physical attributes is high on her list, but I'm sure she has a lot of personality compatibilities that she's looking for. Like, what about that guy friend that she said had a great personality and she's attracted to his personality? what qualities are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Because I think taking a little break and thinking about what's going to make you happy in a relationship is valuable. And then you'll have the right mindset of finding a quality person, not a mindset of like, oh my God, no one's here. Dating sucks. I just need a date to like feel whole. Or the, what I just said of like, there's so many great people. How could I find someone 20% better than this person? How could I find someone 10% better than this person? I think there's like such a Goldilocks mindset to get into, yeah, of being happy in your own life and being pretty sure of what's going to make you happy in a partner. And then just dating mindfully and giving those people chances.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Cool. Well, I think we really solved the whole attraction debacle. I actually want to read more books on attraction. I think it's such an interesting topic. We had another longer question. A girl wrote in and said, how do I bring up the gifts conversation? My birthday passed last week and my boyfriend of almost 3 months didn't get me flowers, which I have expressed that I love, or any gift at all. We spent the whole day together and he left the next morning for a week-long family trip. I'm hoping he'll have a gift when he comes back this weekend, because if not, my feelings will be hurt. I don't care about what the gift is or how expensive it is, but I do care about the thoughtfulness of it. How do I or should I mention it to him and express that I really love getting flowers and that him expressing thoughtfulness and attention is really important and meaningful to me, especially with Christmas coming up? Thank you. I mean, this is a thing that comes up in relationships. I mean, you just brought it up in the beginning of this recording that this will be your first Christmas with your boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I think there's always like a little awkwardness when you first start dating and like their birthday comes up or a holiday comes up or Valentine's Day. I know that's like a big thing for new couples. Like how awkwardly, how are you going to handle Valentine's Day? I think a few things come to mind. I think knowing your love language, I think like a lot of what she's saying is like very tying into love languages, like whether it's not receiving gifts, but at least like maybe words of affirmation as well for her. Like it sounds like she wants like a gift. She wants the thoughtfulness of it, not necessarily the material item. But bringing it up, I think is, she also said she verbalized to him how much she likes flowers and he didn't really do anything about it. So I think having that conversation when he gets back, to just honestly say, like, I appreciated X, Y, and Z you did for my birthday. I am a person who likes to receive flowers, though, or like a card. Is that something that like you think you could do in the future?
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that you said love languages, because I actually replied to her over DM, and that was actually my advice for how to bring it up, that like use that topic as an excuse to bring it up. Like maybe I would put if I were to approach this, I would probably just be like, what's your love language, by the way, because I can't figure it out, or something like that, and ask him what his is. And then he'll come back and maybe he doesn't even know what a love language is, or maybe he does know what his is. Just opens up the conversation. And then in that conversation, you can say, my love language is definitely receiving gifts, and then explain, like, be like, and it doesn't, and exactly what she said in this message, which I feel like is like such an important factor to say. Like, I think people probably get like a bad rap if they have giving gifts as their love language. Like people think they're just like materialistic or something. But what she said is like the key to that love language, that it doesn't even matter how expensive it is. She just like loves knowing that somebody thought of her, that they put in this thoughtful, that they're giving her this thoughtful gift, and they are giving it to her for a reason, like flowers, because she said she likes flowers, like even just something like that. So if she uses that as an excuse to like that topic as an excuse to tell him like the fact that I love getting flowers, like I mentioned that to you before, but I really do mean like in a relationship on my birthday, like I loved that we spent the whole day together. But what really makes me feel like you thought of me, or what makes me feel appreciated, is some like token of appreciation. And for some people that could be spending the day together, like quality time, that is love language.
Yeah.
But for her, it seems like it doesn't mean she doesn't appreciate that and she didn't like spending the day with him, but she would have like really felt loved if he was giving her flowers. And I do also have like one sentence of this that like I keep zooming in on for this question. Like the last one is that she said, I feel like this is like so me that she said that. She goes, I'm hoping he'll have a gift when he comes back.
I laughed at that too. He's not going to.
Yeah, I'm hoping he'll have a gift when he comes back this weekend. But if not, my feelings will be hurt. This is a crux of this. If this mindset is carried on through this relationship, it's going to be an issue, because this is like if you approach a big conversation with somebody like wanting to move in together and you go into it thinking, I'm hoping he also says he wants to move in 3 months. And if not, I'm going to be really upset. Like, you've decided exactly what you want him to do. Didn't really necessarily tell him you want him to do that, but then you're going to be upset if he doesn't. So, like, she's mentioned she likes flowers, but I would venture to say she hasn't flat out told him, I want you to get me flowers on my birthday, which, like, people probably wouldn't. I probably wouldn't do that. But a lot of times you do have to be that clear in order to get that result. And so if you're already going into it with a mindset of like, I really hope that this person says this or does this, and if they don't, I'm going to be upset, then it's like a recipe for being upset.
Exactly. I completely agree. He's not going to come back with a gift. I really don't think he is. So you're going to be upset. And I think it doesn't make you a bad person to tell someone like what you like and what's going to make you feel loved or appreciated. I feel like I love getting cards. And on You Up, Jordana always talks about this, and it's such like a common theme. She basically taught her husband like how to write the kind of card that's going to make her happy. And I'm the same way. Like on Dan's birthday, any type, like Valentine's Day, anniversary, like, I write a long thought out card. And that's how I can date this back to my boyfriends in high school. Like I loved getting like long messages or long cards. I remember, do you remember when you had to turn your phone off to go on, fly on the airplane? Like there was no like Wi-Fi.
Yeah, there was no
Wi-Fi. I would always like turn my phone on after a long flight and like have a long message from my high school boyfriend. I think that's what taught me to like love words of affirmation. Cause there were these like moments I remember getting like that validation, and I just like feel loved through words of affirmation. So I love when Dan writes a card, and I think I had to tell him that. And I think you have to tell people like you like getting flowers. A lot of men don't like to get flowers because they think they're a waste of money and they die in a few days. But it's not the flowers. And I think that's what this girl's saying. Like, it's not the actual item. It's the thought that goes along with it.
Yeah. And I think it is, like you said, it's so, first of all, doing something like writing Dan a card because you like to get cards, that's like some form of telling them that you want it. Like, that's like kind of what she did. She says she likes flowers, so she hoped he would get them for her. And a lot of times, like, that will work. But sometimes, like, everybody is different. And sometimes you do need to directly say, I want you to do this for somebody to know that you want them to do it. And like you, I like that you said, it doesn't make you annoying to say that, but it also doesn't make that, it doesn't mean they like you less or that your relationship is not as good because you have to tell someone. Like it's, we've talked about this before. We've even like posted quotes to our Instagram. Like it's not bad to have to ask for what you want. And it doesn't, in my opinion, it doesn't make it mean anything less when they do it. Like I told you the other day that like I said to Sean, like, I want to go out on more dates. And then like the next day he suggested we go out to dinner. And I was like, so happy that we were going out to dinner. And I wasn't anything, not even a small part of me was like, he's only saying this because I said it and now it means nothing. Like, no, I got what I wanted. I got to go out to dinner and it's because I asked for it. Asking for something and might feel uncomfortable, but in the long run, it makes them happy because anyone's going to be happy to make the person that they're dating happy. And sometimes you need a roadmap. Like I would actually love if my partner was like, oh, I really want you to get me this for my birthday, or I really want you to do more of this, or like something, or like I feel like that's just like a guide to being a better partner. Yes. And so if you can do that for your partner, then it's going to make your relationship so much better.
Right. No one is a mind reader. And I think we're taught through every example of relationships and surprise gifts and spontaneity we see on TV or just any story that kind of precedented our relationships and how we approach love in relationships, it's always like this person's a mind reader and they know exactly what to do. Yeah. They're such a romantic. They ended up this huge display of affection that was exactly the gift that you wanted. That's not realistic. And it's not a bad thing to have a partner who is not a mind reader. I actually would love if Dan asked me what I wanted for Christmas before going out and spending money on a gift. Mm. There's also nothing worse than getting something you don't want and like, right, having to pretend you like it or being honest and telling them you want to exchange it. Like there's so much like negativity and like shame around one, expecting your partner to do everything you want them to do, feeling bad when you have to tell them what you want. And it just shouldn't be like that. No one is a mind reader. And there's times when like I will give Dan a gift because it's something I think he wants and it's not the case. And like, then no one feels good.
Yeah. And the thing that's great about this person who asked this question is that she's only been dating this guy for 3 months. So it's awesome that this person, that it's going so well, that they spent her whole birthday together and they're just 3 months in. And now she can have this conversation with him. And for the rest of their relationship, he'll actually know that she likes, like, she wants him to get her flowers. And hopefully then she doesn't have those situations where she like has a birthday where he doesn't get her flowers or he doesn't get her any gift. I just think that having these conversations early on is so helpful. I've definitely been in relationships where I kind of just like don't say the things that bother me. And then it just carries on into the relationship. And you can even start to like, she could start to resent that he doesn't do mm-hmm. like get her. She's going to resent that he comes back from this trip and doesn't have a gift.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. And so that's why I think that these like small conversations that feel like overwhelming to have are so important. And then like, it's also just setting the tone for talking about these things. Like he then will feel more comfortable telling her if there's something that like is bothering him in the relationship. And I think it just like opens the door for that like healthy back and forth communication.
Yes. That sentiment can translate to anything in the relationship of just hoping the person does what you want, but you've never vocalized, and just getting like mm-hmm. angry. You're in a fight with yourself. This person is clueless. Yeah. They have no idea what you want. They have no idea you're expecting something. They have no idea how to make you happy. You're sitting here with all of these like expectations, deadlines, ultimatums, reasons you're going to be upset. And like, it's all in your head. Granted, it's a little different here, I think, because she did tell this guy that she likes flowers. So kind of like strike one, but like, maybe you just need to be a little more explicit.
Yeah. I just feel like that could have been such like an offhanded comment that she kind of like remembers so clearly and that he probably just like didn't even pick up on. I just think that sometimes it needs to be a little bit more direct. And I also think coming at it from the person's perspective, like there's nothing more frustrating than like someone being like frustrated and you don't even realize it. Like, I feel like if Sean said something to me or like brought up an important topic and then I didn't react the way that he like wanted me to, and then was upset. If he was upset about it, I'd be like, what was I supposed to say? You know what I mean? I just feel like it's like mm-hmm. that disconnect can be dissolved if you're just kind of like a little bit more direct with your communication and not wanting or not expecting somebody to be a mind reader. So
I agree
that this question can be applied to so many different things, and she'll learn his love language out of it. Like, maybe it's probably quality time. They spent the whole birthday together.
He's on a week long trip with his family. Like, he probably grew up with quality time. Yeah. His love language, it's just ingrained.
Okay, let's do a couple shorter ones. So this week on our Ask Us Anything, somebody asked, I liked this question because it's so common, what to do and how to feel when there's a shift in energy from him and they're 3 dates in. Hmm. So the way that I read this, based off of like having lived this experience before, is you're early on stage dating somebody, just she's 3 dates in, and they're probably like coming on really strong in the beginning, or they seem super into it. And then maybe they start texting less, or they just are like pushing off going out, or they just seem a little bit off. Maybe they went out on their 3rd date and she's like, oh, he doesn't seem as into it. Mm-hmm. So how do you not, first of all, how do you not like overthink that? And second of all, like, how do you like proceed with this person? Do you carry on acting normally? Do you ask them what's going on? What would you do in this situation?
It's a really good question, because I think this could mean a few different things. Like, after 3 dates could mean they were on their best behavior for the first 3 dates. They were going out of their way to make you feel special, to be like the winner of all of the people that you're dating and be, you know, pursue you in a way that you're now going to want them. And now they're kind of just like slipping into comfort. They kind of know they have won you over. You're interested. They can kind of stop the show. Yeah. That's one thing. It also could be after 3 dates, they aren't interested anymore. It really could be that they, you know, they were dating multiple people or just getting to know you. This could be not just a guy. Just after 3 dates, I think it's a good barometer for anyone to decide if you do or do not like someone and want to continue dating. It also could be a myriad of other things. Like, maybe they had a terrible day at work and a week at work, or someone in their family passed away. Like, you really don't know. So I think it's up to the person of how they want to approach it. If they want to like give it a little more time to see, I don't think you could base this on a few days of change in behavior. But I think, as you would expect, my answer would be to communicate. I would be a little more direct. I think after 3 dates, it's totally fair game for anyone to suggest a next date. Even if you do like being pursued and like the guy to ask you out on dates, I think this is a great time for you to suggest a next date. I would just be direct. I would ask I don't think you have to be like, I noticed a shift in energy. How are you, do you still feel the same way about me? I think just initiate seeing him, initiate plans, and see if that will prompt him to either just say yes, and you can like slip back into the rhythm and energy you had in the 3 dates prior, or you'll get a more clear answer of, I actually not really feeling this anymore. Had a great time with you, but think we should see other people type text.
Yeah. I think that I like that you gave the context that it could be so many different things, because that was the first thing that I thought of, was that like, maybe she's writing this after their third date. Maybe he's just like having a really busy week or a really off week. And it could be so many things. Like, even if you were on the date with somebody early on and it seemed like an off date and you're like, what's going on here? Like, all of our other dates were so great. I just think that that three to five date like mark in a relationship is when both people are really thinking about like, do they want to continue? Could they see themselves dating this person? And I think that there is a chance that this guy could be like in his head a lot too, and kind of just like feeling like nervous. And so there could just be so many things. So that's why, like, I personally, if you're still interested and this person does still seem to be like open to going out and is still making plans and it just seems like off energy, then I would just like carry on and just act normal. I would not use it as an excuse. Just come up with excuses to like text them. Like, I just think that in the past I have like felt somebody like pulling away or felt somebody acting differently. And it just like triggers, especially if you have like an anxious dating mindset or like an anxious attachment style, I think it can trigger you to then like come on like really strong. And I think that that can just then make them pull away more. I've been on both sides of that scenario. And so I think in the past where I haven't been like totally sure that I don't want to date somebody or that I do, and I've started to pull back a little bit, and then they are like texting me all the time or like coming up with like clear excuses to just like send a joke or start a conversation. Like, it's a really big turnoff and it just makes me want to pull back. So I'm not saying like play a game and text less. I'm saying that is why, like what you just said, I feel like is such good advice, because you can directly, first of all, ask them to make a plan with them and see if they want to, or directly ask them, like, are you not interested in going out anymore? If they keep pulling back and they keep like kind of pushing off plans, then that's what I would do. I would also, if you guys aren't like exclusive and you haven't had a conversation about not dating other people, go out on another first date. Like, remind yourself that other people are out there. I feel like that's a way to not get like really wrapped up in it. But if it was just like one off date, I would just kind of chalk it up to just being an off, like off day for one of you, and then like see what happens from there. I just think it's like really easy to get wrapped up in this like feeling and then feeling so nervous. Like, but there was, the dates were so good. Like, what did I do? What changed? And then like, it makes you act differently. So try to just like do the things that make you feel relaxed.
Yeah.
And make other plans with friends, distract yourself a little bit, but come at this with like an in-between of like, don't like completely pull away from them because you think they're pulling away, but also don't like come on super strong. So that's obviously not an easy thing to do, but just try to like stay neutral in this scenario.
I agree. And I think feeling the energy shift is such a real thing. And often it might mean that the person is pulling back. And I think you can be very intuitive to know when a person is interested versus when that switch is kind of like turned off and you can feel that pull away. So I felt this way so much with job interviews. I don't know if you can relate to this, but this question like brought me back into job interviews, because you'd get that email with interest, like set up your first interview and you would go on and you would feel great and you'd get like, there'd be very quick communication from the person to like set up the next rounds. And then you kind of like slip into haven't heard from them in a few days. Okay, now it's been a week. Do I email to see? Mm-hmm. Do I email the hiring manager again? It's been a week. And then your friends are like, no, you'll hear from them. Maybe they're just interviewing other people. But in your mind, like, you know, it's over. Yeah. Like, I feel that shift so much. And I always was right. Like, but I think that, but there's no, the part that's painful in both of those situations is the sitting and waiting and wondering. And I think what you can do is just like, act as you normally would. Distract yourself, fill your days with things that'll make you happy. But what's going to make you happy and kind of be able to tie this in a bow is a direct answer. And I think the way to do that is asking for the plan, like seeing if they want to go out and just kind of doing anything to get them to be upfront with you. And I think just asking to make a plan is a quick way to like gauge if, okay, they were having an off week, but now they're ready to just like get back and see you and things will slip back to normal, or you'll get more of a finite answer. So
yeah,
it's tough. I get it.
It is. Should we do one more?
Yes, this one I thought was just light and fun. Someone wrote in, how do we feel about boyfriends following exes on Instagram?
I mean, I wouldn't feel any particular way if they still followed them, but if they were like regularly showing up on their feed or like regular, if they like liked their, I don't think I would like it. Like, I think I would definitely prefer that they just don't follow them, because why do they still want to see them? But I also wouldn't be annoyed if I found out that they hadn't like actively unfollowed them, because I haven't unfollowed people I've dated in the past. Like, I haven't thought of it, but I also don't, if I see their picture pop up, I wouldn't like it, because I just feel like that's like unnecessarily engaging with people that you don't need to be talking to. Like, what's the reason there?
Yeah. I'm not friends or I do not follow, and my exes and my exes do not follow me, like serious relationships, but I definitely like still follow guys I hooked up with and they still follow me. But no, we're not really liking each other's, we're not liking each other's pictures. They're just kind of there.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it, now that I think about it, I don't like it.
But I don't really like it.
I think that it would give me like jealous. It's kind of like a double standard, because I feel like I would get like jealous, insecure vibes if somebody was like annoyed that I was still following my exes, because I'd be like, why don't they trust me? Like, what do they think I'm trying to do? Like, still like go date this person again just because I still follow them? Like, and I haven't actively unfollowed them. But it also depends on the significance of the relationship. Like, the people that I still follow are people that I wasn't like super serious with. But if it was like a partner that I had like lived with and was with for like years and years, and I still was like, they were just popping up in my feed every day, it would just kind of, it would feel annoying, I think, that that person's like constant, they're being reminded of their ex all the time.
Yeah. I think this following of an ex is an indicator of, it's just, it's like a metaphor for where does this person fit in your life. And I think like both me and Dan, neither of us have any like social media connection to our serious exes. I too, though, would get a little, I feel like I would be a little uncomfortable if he was following an ex. I just think it opens up a larger story of, what does this person mean to you? Why are you so hesitant to like cut the cord? Because I don't think there's any need to like see someone who you seriously dated just pop up all the time. And not for any reason of like jealousy, but we talk about this all the time. Like, there's just no point. There's no need for it.
Yeah.
There's no need for it. But I think it depends on the severity of the relationship.
I agree. Yeah. So I wouldn't like, I don't know, like, would you ask somebody to unfollow? Like, I feel like that's like such a weird situation. I might like kind of, it might raise like a little yellow flag to me. Like, oh, why are they still following them?
I'd probably make a joke.
Yeah. Like, how do you even know? Like, are you checking their, who they follow? I don't even know Sean's ex's names. Like, I just feel like unless you like knew someone, I don't know. Do you think you should I? Like, I feel like it's like, I don't really, I know like this, I guess it, yeah, this raises a question that we could like go deeper on another episode, right? But like, how much do you need to know about their past relationships? Like, I feel like, I know how long his past relationships are. I know why they ended. I know like kind of how serious they were and like issues that they had and how their communication was. I feel like I know like the overall things, but like, I literally could not tell you what they looked like and I tell you what their names are. Like, I feel like that's like, and I think that I kind of feel like that's like healthy, because then like, I don't know if they follow each, it's not important to know those things if you trust the person,
right?
But at the same time, like, maybe, I don't know, it's a,
yeah, it's definitely an interesting topic, because I think it goes a lot deeper than just following someone on social media. It's how much do you need to know about this person, and how much should it bother you of like any level of connection they still have to them?
Yeah.
I don't feel a need to follow or have any communication with my exes, because they're my exes and they're in my past. But I'm also not like going through my phone and deleting contacts and Instagram followers and deleting like any remnant of anyone who I was ever like interested in or spoke to before, because I'm just not thinking about it. I think when it comes to like pictures, I know people have a lot of opinions and more, probably more of an opinion on, should you ask your partner to delete photos of a past relationship? I think you should, like, I don't think you should have to ask. I just think that's something that you should do. And I think both men,
On your camera roll?
No, on your Instagram.
Oh,
on your
camera roll,
like, no. I have, like, so many pictures. I've never deleted a picture of anything. Yeah.
I was very surprised by that. I agree. It's so strange. I find it so weird if I'm looking through, like, even a random person's Instagram and it, like, switches over and they're, like, with somebody else. Like, if I really scroll deep and I find, like, an old boyfriend or an old girlfriend and I'm like, what? Like, I think those need to go. But, like, never, like... But I don't know. I honestly also, like, I'm over every person that I've dated. Like, I literally have no feelings for anyone I've dated in the past. But, like, I also would, like, I feel like I am curious to know, like, what the, not day to day. I'm not checking my ex's Instagrams every day. But, like, I feel like it's, like, unnecessary to, like, block somebody and never be able to see what they did. Like, I do have an ex that blocked me. And I'm like, that's really weird. And I kind of, like, maybe, like, once a year, I'm like, oh, I wonder what that person's up to. And, like, it would be nice to see. People didn't used to have social media. So this is, like, such an interesting... Right. Like, it's just kind of like, to me, I'm not like, I guess I just haven't given it thought about, like, if my partner would follow his exes. And I wouldn't think it meant something if they did, unless they were, like, liking and commenting and, like, DMing the person. Like, that's an issue.
I think it's abnormal to still follow, but I do think it's normal to still stalk, like, every once in a while. I think we can all normalize the curiosity. And yes, like you just said, people didn't used to have this ability to just peer into an ex's a past relationship's life. And the fact that you can just, like, click a few buttons and see exactly what this person's life is like, who wouldn't be curious about that? I just think that's such a normal behavior. Right. And I think, yes, they're doing it too often, like, weird and obsessive, but I think anyone would be lying if they say they, like, never checked on an ex on social media.
There was, like, an issue, I keep, like, bringing up things from Love is Blind, but there was, like, an issue with, like, one like set of people that was on the show. It turned out that they had dated in real life before that. And the guy was kind of, like, calling her crazy. And he was like, after we broke up, like, three of my friends who are girls said that they saw your handle watching their story. And she was like, what? Like, that is crazy. I would never do. And, like, I wish she would have just said, like, yeah, I did. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like it's, like, people stalk people on Instagram. Like, and I don't want to use the word stalk. Like, it's not like they're like, but, like, people, like, social media stalk. Like, you, like, want to see people, what they're doing. And, like, I've watched a random person's story before. And a lot of people do it with, like, a fake Instagram. Right. But, like, if it's somebody I'm, like, really disconnected from, like, and they have, like, a following, then, like, I would watch their story. I don't care. Like, I feel like it's just what everybody does. I feel like it allows you to, like, check in on people that you're curious about, like, men and women, like, not just people I've dated, like, maybe a girl I went to high school with who I haven't talked to since then. Like, something might come up about her in conversation and I'm curious to look at her Instagram. Like, if that's, like, I feel like that's why social networks exist, because you're like, Facebook is literally all about that, like, connecting with people that you didn't know from 20 years ago. That's, like, why Facebook is all older people. I just feel like it's, like, such a normal thing.
And it's not.
But I do agree that, like, following it might be unnecessary.
It's not, like, just the curiosity to look at an ex. Like you just said, that's the nature of social media. You can look into the lives of everyone around you. I think it's, like, a little weird if you're, like, never curious about people that you actually had a significant part of your life with. Like, I can look into, like, a random food blogger's, like, breakfast lunch and nighttime activity and skincare routine and, like, talking about her deepest, darkest secrets and, like, insecurities. Like, if I can find this out about a person, I think it is a little weird. You would never have a curiosity to, like, look at a past relationship. I don't know.
I'm actually going to do a poll question today. I'm very curious if people would rather have, I have two poll questions coming out of this episode because I'm curious about what people think. If you would rather have your significant other follow their ex or have their ex blocked.
Yes.
Because I would rather have them follow them. If they have them blocked, then I'm like, that's concerning. Like, what is the issue there that you, like, seriously have to have them blocked? Like, I feel like that's very strange behavior. Like, unless it was, like, an abusive relationship or something was, like, so toxic and terrible that you just, like, don't want them to see you at all. But if you, like, feel the need to have them blocked, I think that there's, like, something still, some feelings harbored there or something strange. And then the other question that I feel like I want to know is from the first listener question we got today. If you would rather, would you rather have your partner have a type or not have a type? Like, I feel like that's an interesting one as well. So we'll have to report back on that next week.
Yeah, for sure. I like both of those questions. I mean, like the social media one, obviously I would rather them just, like, not follow each other, but not have each other blocked. Like, you could stalk if you could look if you want, but between the blocking and the following, I think I would pick following Yeah, just because of all of the reasons that go into why this person became blocked right. in the first place. But overall, great questions. Lots of like diving deep into the nuances of each of these.
This is why the longer questions are good, because we can dive a little mm-hmm. bit deeper into them. So definitely keep them coming. But thank you guys so much for listening. Let us know any topics you want us to cover in the future. And you can find us on Instagram at Mostly Balanced Podcast.
Yes. Thanks for listening.